Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
How's it going, folks? Welcome back to the channel. So it's not exactly a happy Monday this week, but it is a Monday regardless. So it's time for the Monday agenda. Going to be looking back at the Derby Day defeat from yesterday, looking at the next 24 hours in terms of transfers before the transfer window closes. And with that, I'll be doing a depth chart of Celtic's positions, including the players that I expect to be at the club and excluding the players that I expect to leave the club over the next 24 hours. So let's get straight into it. So as ever, before I get to the topics, a massive thank you to everyone who has subscribed to the channel so far. I'm looking to get the 5,000 subs though over the next couple of weeks. Hopefully I can reach that landmark, but to do so, I'll need your help. Please hit the subscribe button below if you are a regular viewer. There's more content coming on the channel than ever, so I really want people to see it. If you like the video, hit the like, subscribe to the channel and leave a comment as well. Let's start with the Derby Day defeat. So it was a 1-0 defeat for Celtic in the first Derby of the year. Philip Hollander getting the only goal off the game. And look, there's a couple of ways that I want to approach this game and what happened. Firstly, I didn't watch this live. I had my own game, so I couldn't watch it live. So I actually watched it pretty cold. I knew the result, so there was the emotion of the game was not there for me, so I was watching it purely from a football and tactical perspective. So there are a couple of things that I want to touch on. Obviously, Ange has already touched on the lineup issues where he feels that he should have swapped positions with Edouard in the centre and Kyogo on the left, and I agree with that. I think that would have made a difference. I don't agree with a lot of the talk on Twitter at the minute about Edouard and making him a scapegoat. I thought it wasn't his best performance, but he missed a good chance. Fair enough, that happens. I'm not buying into the fact that, you know, he wasn't trying. I think he was. I mean, of all the players that have been scapegoated over the last couple of years, I think Edouard's put in a lot of effort over the last couple of weeks, and he was absolutely key to securing the result against AZ in the Europa League playoff. So I'm not having that. I think it wasn't his best game. He missed a good chance, and that's about it. I don't think he deserves to be scapegoated for this 1-0 defeat. Other lineup issues, Juranovic playing at left back. I mean, this, I'll touch on this later on in terms of the depth chart. This is a key issue for Celtic, is that they were starting a right back at left back. Juranovic was brought into the club as a right back. Anthony Ralston's playing very well. He doesn't deserve to be dropped. So Juranovic was sort of shoehorned into the team because Greg Taylor's not there. And ultimately, that is an issue. Greg Taylor is Celtic's best left-back at the minute. There's no getting around that. Adam Montgomery, obviously, is an option there, but Ange didn't feel he was ready to step into that starting role straight away. So I think that's a key issue, is that Celtic are still at the point now where their squad is so thin that they had to start a right-back at left-back. I didn't think Juranovic had a bad game, but do I think he would have had a better game at right back? Yes, I do. Do I think a proper left back playing at left back would have had a better game than Juranovic? Yes, I do. So that's a key issue, is that Celtic squad is still so thin, and they haven't brought in a left back. A left back is a key issue for me and a key position that I think Celtic need to strengthen. So whether that Scales coming in there now, that is going to be an issue, because if Greg Taylor's injured, who's going to play there? If Montgomery's not ready, who's going to play there? That's a key issue for me. In terms of the goal, there's been a lot of talk about this. I've seen GigPod were debating with it, and Boys Analytics was involved, whether or not Hollander should have been picked up at the back post, whether Hart should have come and claimed the ball. So, you know, Boys Analytics is saying that Hart should have come and punched the ball away. I disagree with that. I had a look back at the goal. I think the ball is too high up in the air for Hart to come and claim it or come and punch it. If he does attempt to come and punch it, I think he's missing it. Now, for me, there's a couple of arguments to be made about that. So if Hart comes and tries to punch it, maybe he creates enough chaos that it puts Hollander off, and that eventually leads to a goal not happening. So that is an argument you could make there. For me, though, a centre-back who's dominant in the air like Philip Hollander, he's 6'4", there needs to be someone marking him at the back post. It didn't look like Celtic were playing a zonal defence for the corner. It looked like they were going man-to-man, so there needs to be someone marking him. If they are going zonal, if I am wrong about them playing zonal, then there needs to be someone blocking his run. There wasn't. So ultimately, what happened was a centre-back who's dominant in the air, who's tall, who likes to head the ball, was free at the back post, and he got a header. He got a free header at the back post. It just shouldn't happen. It doesn't matter what your footballing philosophy is. If you let a centre-back who's 6'4", who's good in the air and good at heading, free at the back post for a corner and a good set piece, it's probably going to lead to a goal. So it was just really basic stuff from Celtic in the end that caused the goal. In terms of the overall performance, I thought Celtic were actually pretty good. They matched Rangers for most of the game. They probably could have had one or two goals. Edouard obviously missed a good chance. Kyogo should have squared to Ryan Christie. And they had opportunities. I think, I'm not sure what the XG was. I think the XG was pretty close as well. So ultimately it comes down to taking your chances. Celtic didn't take their chances. The one real chance that Rangers got with that set piece, they took it, and Rangers won the game. So it's about sharpening up those situations where, you know, 3 months down the line, Kyogo gets that chance, he squares to Ryan Christie instead of taking the shot, or that Edouard finishes that goal. So it's not as dramatic as some people will like to make out. This was a tight game. Rangers came out winners. Do I think that Rangers will win all of the derbies this year? No, I don't. Do I think that Rangers are going to run away with the league like they did last year? No, I don't. And I don't think that this defeat will have the same domino effect that it had last season. I think Celtic will build on it. The trajectory that they are on, if they trust the process and continue the way that they were been playing over the last 6 weeks, I think Celtic will be much, much closer to Rangers by the end of the season. So on the pitch, you know, it was sort of the same story as last year where Celtic were quite close to them, but just ultimately came up short. I think positive-wise, this was very close. It was a coin toss of a game. So disappointing, obviously, to lose the game. But I think that the next derby game, Celtic will either win it or they won't lose. So that, for me, is progress. If you've lost all the last four of the games, then a draw is progress. A win is even more progress. In terms of things off the pitch, obviously, you know, it's the same old story when it comes to this game. When it's at Ibrox, police escort for fans who are singing racist chants. And I, like, listen, I don't live in Glasgow. I don't experience it every week. I experience what I see on the TV or what I see in the newspaper. So I'm not going to sit here and claim that I know what it's like to be an Irish Catholic or an Irish immigrant in Glasgow. But what I don't agree with is a police escort for fans who are being racist. They are being racist. If you replace Irish, if you replace the word Irish, if you replace the things, the connotations it comes with that, with any other foreign national, then this is a blatantly racist chant being escorted by the police. So it was absolutely sickening for me, and the silence within the major news organizations about this is sickening. Now, tons of journalists have called it out, but the news organizations have not, which is absolutely disgraceful for me. And I just can't wrap my head around why it's allowed. There was a piece on the Daily Record about the ticket allocation and how the world media reacted to that and how it was a sad day for football. I mean, is the racist chants not a sad day for football? It's beyond reprehensible for me. I don't understand why it's allowed. It happens too often, and it's just the same old story. It's sad more than it is anger, because it just continues to happen and nothing happens about it. So I mean, is anything going to happen? Probably not. So it's probably better just to move on to the next 24 hours, what's going to happen in terms of the transfer. So the transfer window closes on Tuesday. The next 24 hours are crucial for Celtic. It looks like it's going to be two signs. Georges Giakoumakis is going to come in from VfB Venlo, and Jota from Benfica is going to join on a loan and buy deal. So I've already spoken about Giakoumakis. He scored a bucket of goals in the Eredivisie last season. He's playing in second division now because they got relegated. The main questions I have around him is, why did he explode last year? What caused that? Was it natural progression within his career and he's just become an absolutely unstoppable striker? Or was it a bit of form, confidence, bringing it along? Goals made him even more confident and he just kept scoring more goals. So the main question I have around Giakoumakis is, can he recreate that form? What caused that form? And can we invent the situations or recreate the situations that allowed him to score all those goals for Venlo last season? That's my main concern. It's always concerning when you see a player score a bucket load of goals out of nowhere and then you're just worried, is he another Michu? Is he another player who's going to score? He scored 24 goals. Can he do that over the next courses, the next 5 years? Can he even get close to that? That's my main concern. But positive side, 2.5 million for a player who's the top goal scorer in their Eredivisie last year. If he can recreate that form, then he will be a very good player for Celtic over the next year or so. The second player is Philippe Jota, who's joining Celtic from Benfica on a loan to buy deal. He seems that the medical is going to happen today, so this deal is pretty much over the line. It's nearly done. He's a winger. He played for Real Valladolid last season on loan, played 18 games for them. He's playing first team football, and I think it looks the way that these signings are happening. So Giakoumakis is coming in as a striker and Jota is coming in as a winger. That for me would, you know, it shows that Odson Edouard is out the door. So ultimately, what does this mean for Celtic? This means that the depth chart looks something like this. Hart in goals, Barkas, Bain, three goalkeepers. At right back, you have Ralston. At the minute, he's the number one right back for me. Juranovic up next, then O'Connor. In centre back, you have Welsh, Julian Urguide, Starfelt, Murray, Scales, Taylor, Montgomery at left back. As you can see, that's the blatantly obvious one that Celtic are lacking depth. I'm only including players. There are players who are at the club who can play in those positions. For example, Bolingoli is obviously a left back. I'm including players that I think will actually play. I don't think Bolingoli is going to play for Celtic this season. So Taylor Montgomery are the only left backs at the minute, but I think Liam Scales can also play left back as well. He's played there for Shamrock Rovers over the last 9 months. He can play left back as well, but he's more of a left centre back. In midfield, at the number six, you can have Cal McGregor is the number one for me, then James McCarthy, then Sorrow, then Beaton. And then in midfield, obviously these are interchangeable, so there are a couple of players who can play a couple of positions, but you have Ryan Christie, if he signs a new deal, Rogic and Turnbull. And then up front on the wing, you have Abada on the right. Dembele for me is the next best option as the right winger. Then in the middle, Kyogo, Giakoumakis, Ayeti. And then on the left, you have Forrest and Jota. So obviously, there's a lot of interchangeable positions there. Christie can play as a left winger if needs be. You know, McGregor doesn't have to play as a six if there's a defensive midfielder playing there. You know, they're all interchangeable. But I think the blatantly obvious one is the fact that Celtic are missing someone at left back. They probably need another centre half if Julian is not going to be fit. And it's a decent squad. It's a decent start point. Now, because the reason I say a decent start point is that I feel like a lot of people are already jumping the gun in the fact that Celtic are in the Europa League. They're improving under Ange Postecoglou. But don't forget where Celtic have come from here. Celtic have come from a situation where they finished 20 plus points behind their main rivals in the league, beaten in every cup competition. Didn't come near it in Europe. So a really bad situation. So you can't go from where Celtic have come from straight to having a full squad of all the dream players that you want, of all the players that are perfect for the situation that Ange needs in the course of 6 months. I think this is a good start point. Can they build on it? Can they have domestic success with this squad? I think they can. And then what happens next summer? What happens the summer after that? It's a long-term process. The problem with Celtic over the last couple of years, and I've said it, I'm almost sick of saying it on this channel, is that they've always focused on short-term gain. Short-term gain, win domestically, and you know the board are happy. That is not realistic. This is a good start point for where Celtic are going to be 5 years' time. Do I think that that left-back situation is going to be still there in 5 years' time? No, I don't. Do I think that Ralston is going to be the starting right-back in 5 years' time? Probably not. Do I think that the centre-mid situation where Tom Rogic is the starting number eight is going to be the starting number eight in 5 years' time? No, I don't. So there's a lot of improvement to be made. That improvement can only be made over a long term. So I think, as I said, it's a good start point for what Ange is trying to achieve. I think there will be success. There will be fun. There will definitely be down points within this season. But the process is a long process. So I think we will have a good squad in 3 to 4 years' time and be successful over a long period of time, as opposed to short-term domestic success, boom-to-bust stuff, and then fan frustration. So what do you think of the squad? What did you think of the Derby defeat? Let me know in the comments below. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. Again, like I said, I'm trying to get to 5,000 subs, so if you haven't subscribed, please do subscribe to the channel, and I'll be bringing you more content over the next couple of weeks or so. The Huddle Breakdown will break down the Derby defeat this week, probably Wednesday or Thursday when we record the podcast. So for more in-depth analysis, you can follow the Huddle Breakdown as well. This is the Monday Agenda. Thanks for watching, folks. We'll chat to you later.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Marc Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Marc.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.